Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 156 for the week of April 4th, 2022. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. We'll start this week with our monthly look at the number of newly authorized for hire trucking companies. And guess what? March saw a record number of new carriers as the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration authorized more than 10,900, which is about 600 more than the previous record month of August of last year. For those keeping score at home, as they say, FMCSA has now approved more than 176,000 new for hire carriers since this surge began in July of 2020. Despite a record March, relatively weak authorizations in January and February meant that the first quarter of this year was actually only the third largest quarter ever for the number of newly authorized carriers. The third quarter of last year narrowly beat out the second quarter of last year for that distinction. As we've been discussing weekly for about a month now, market conditions are getting tougher. So what gives with a record number of new carriers in March? Well, it takes time to apply for and to receive authority, and I suspect that the record dry van and refrigerated rates at the end of 2021 has much to do with the March record of number of new carriers. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that March will be the peak of the surge, and that the record posted during March will stand for quite a long time. It's possible that the momentum carries through much of April, but surely by the time we get to the second half of the month, unless we see some big changes in some of the data we've been looking at, the combination of the diesel price surge in March and the weak rates in the van markets that we've been seeing will take some steam out of the surge. In fact, it might do more than that. And speaking of doing more than that, there was another record related to the number of trucking companies, and that is the number of net revocations of operating authority, which is sort of the other side of the coin. Net revocations, by the way, are revocations of operating authority minus reinstatements of authority in any given month or quarter. March saw the largest number of net revocations ever at just under 5,000. That slightly exceeds the previous record of just over 4,900 posted just 2 months earlier. Not surprisingly, with record levels of net revocations in two of the 3 months of the quarter, the first quarter saw a record number of net revocations, beating out the fourth quarter of last year. Now, one thing we must acknowledge is that given an unprecedented number of new carriers, we would also expect to see an elevated number of net revocations. Moreover, we have been, at least to this point, been adding more carriers than we are losing. For example, in the first quarter, net revocations were just under 14,000. However, grants of new authority totaled more than 28,000. Still, there is clearly the potential for an inversion, at least for a short period of time, if trucking conditions get weak. Okay, let's move on to the usual data. And for now, we will continue to start with a discussion of weekly data on diesel prices, even though they are, unfortunately, beginning to stabilize above $5 a gallon. Putting the fuel discussion ahead of the spot metrics discussion does make some sense because so much of what is happening in the spot market now with rates especially, is best understood if you first understand what is happening with diesel prices. So the news wasn't bad in the latest week, but it certainly wasn't all that great either. The national average price of diesel fell by 4.1 cents to $5.14.4 cents a gallon during the week ended April 4th. Year over year, diesel prices were exactly $2 a gallon higher. Diesel is still within 11 cents of the record level posted 3 weeks earlier, and the decrease, of course, was not very large in the latest week. Meanwhile, crude isn't moving all that much. West Texas Intermediate did move a little lower last week and even closed slightly below $100 a barrel on Friday. That lower price came following President Biden's authorization of the release of 1 million barrels of crude per day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for the next 6 months. Other national governments reportedly are considering similar moves. On April 4th, though, crude closed above $103 a barrel. So don't expect much more relief on diesel prices, if any, in the near term. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended April 1st, which is week 13 of the year. Flatbed spot rates in the truckstop.com system set another record during the week, but dry van and refrigerated rates fell. All segments saw lower rates if we exclude the estimated impact of fuel. Dry van rates had stabilized in two prior weeks, but continued a downward trend that they had been seeing since hitting a record at the end of last year. Refrigerated rates fell for the 12th week out of the last 13 weeks, since also hitting a record at the end of 2021. Total spot rates increased nearly 3 cents per mile, but FTR estimates that excluding the impact of fuel, rates would have fallen nearly 9 cents. Total spot rates were nearly 14% higher than the same 2021 week, but excluding fuel, rates were down about 13% year-over-year. Rates excluding fuel had not seen a year-over-year comparison this negative since the early weeks of the recovery back in May of 2020. Okay, let's look at rates by segment. Dry van spot rates fell about 4 cents after squeezing out small gains in the prior 2 weeks. However, FDR estimates that excluding the impact of fuel, rates were down nearly 16 cents. Rates have fallen about 36 cents from the record level at the end of 2021. Dry van rates were about 4% higher than the same week last year, but if we exclude fuel, they were down nearly 27%. Refrigerated spot rates declined nearly 6 cents, but rates excluding the estimated fuel impact fell 17 cents. Rates have plunged nearly 99 cents from the record level at the end of 2021 and have in fact slipped below $3 for the first time since May of last year. Refrigerated rates were 0.2% below the same 2021 week, and that's the first time that those rates have been negative year over year since June of 2020. If we exclude fuel, spot rates in refrigerated, like in dry van, were down about 27%. Flatbed spot rates rose about 6 cents and hit their second straight record level. However, even in flatbed, rates are not keeping pace with fuel costs, as FTR estimates that rates excluding the impact of fuel were down about 5 cents. Flatbed rates have increased in all but 1 week this year, but excluding fuel, rates have been down in 6 weeks, including the last 4 weeks. Rates were 19% higher than the same week last year, but 7% below the same week last year if we exclude fuel. By the way, I'm sure some of you have been wondering what we mean when we talk about rates excluding fuel. Now, what we're really doing is we're subtracting a presumed fuel surcharge from the total if such a surcharge were included, which, of course, in the spot market typically is not the case. It's certainly not a perfect way to analyze the fuel impact, but it is consistent over time. And that means that even if the calculations are not precise, and they most certainly are not, they do give a good relative picture because we are calculating them the same way over time. Okay, let's talk about spot volume. Total load postings ticked up 0.3%. Volume was about 8% below the same week last year, but about 89% above the five-year average for the week. Barring an extraordinary surge, and that seems highly unlikely, spot volume appears certain to be lower than comparable 2021 levels, at least through mid-May. Loads were up significantly in the South Central and Southeast regions, but down significantly on the West Coast and in the Northeast. Okay, let's wrap up by looking at volume by segment. After falling for six straight weeks, dry van load postings increased 2.3%. Volume was nearly 7% below the level posted in the same 2021 week, but nearly 73% above the five-year average for the week. Refrigerated load postings were basically flat, declining just 0.1%. Volume was nearly 8% below the same week last year, but about 83% above the five-year average. And flatbed load postings declined 0.7%. Volume was nearly 9% below the same 2021 week, but it is still nearly double the five-year average for the week. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly metrics with a look at mortgage rates. The rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage rose another quarter point in the latest week to 4.67%, according to Freddie Mac. The rate is the highest since December of 2018. Home sales undoubtedly will face increasing headwinds from financing costs as mortgage rates continue to surge. Okay, we turn to monthly metrics, and before we get to a discussion of the labor market, which will make up most of the rest of the podcast, let's get a few other important indicators out of the way. The Institute of Supply Management's closely watched manufacturing index declined 1.5 points to 57.1. That's the lowest reading since September of 2020. Given that 50 is the threshold between expansion and contraction for the overall sector, the latest index level still indicates overall growth in the manufacturing sector. However, the two index components of most concern to freight transportation, and that would be new orders and production, were weak. New orders component fell 7.9 points. That was the biggest decrease in any of the ISM index components. And production, the production component fell 4 points. And comments from survey participants that were highlighted by ISM implied that the principal issue continues to be supply chain constraints and not an underlying lack of demand. Now, indeed, there is some confirmation of that. We know from looking at the heavy truck manufacturing industry. Orders have been constrained by the fact that truck manufacturers do not have certainty that they're going to be able to build more trucks, and so they have not been able to slot orders because of the semiconductor shortage. So we are building up sort of a backlog of orders that have not even been entered, and we're probably seeing similar things in other industries. Another set of data that we got last week was on consumer spending from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. We're not going to spend a whole lot on that because we talk about consumer spending a lot when we talk about retail sales, but it is a little different of a look at the data. Now, total consumer spending ticked up 0.2% in February, but if we adjust that for inflation, spending was actually down 0.4%. Now, of course, we're starting to pay more attention to the distinction between current or nominal dollars and real or inflation-adjusted dollars because of the significant issue we've been having with inflation. Especially when we discuss spending on goods, this provides a better sense as to the connection with freight demand. Because just because spending is rising doesn't necessarily mean there's more freight being hauled, because pricing obviously does not affect freight volumes. Spending on goods was down 0.5%, while spending on services was up nearly 1%. However, real goods spending was down 2.1%, while spending on services on an inflation-adjusted basis was up 0.6%. Within goods spending on durable goods fell 2.5%, spending on non-durables was basically flat. Now, the durable goods spending didn't change when we adjust for inflation for that given month, but spending on non-durable goods, instead of being flat, was down nearly 2%. Okay, let's start our discussion of the labor market with a look at job openings and job quits, which, of course, we've been following closely for over a year now. Job openings at the end of February were little changed from a month earlier at 11.3 million. That's barely below the 11.4 million openings at the end of December, which was a record. Meanwhile, job quits were little changed at 4.4 million, and that too is pretty close, in fact, less than 200,000 below the record set in November. And now we come to the principal set of monthly indicators, which are from the Employment Situation Report for March. As usual, we'll start at a high level and work ourselves into the freight transportation sector. The U.S. economy added 431,000 payroll jobs, seasonally adjusted, in March. The gain was the smallest increase since September, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics also revised the February employment level upward by 95,000. Payroll employment is still 1.58 million jobs, or 1%, below the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. The unemployment rate fell to 3.6%. That's actually just a tenth of a point above where it was in February 2020, and we all acknowledged back then that that was a very tight market. Labor participation, meanwhile, continued its slow but steady recovery, ticking up a tenth of a point to 62.4%, which is 1% below the pre-pandemic level. As is typically the case, the major sector of the economy seeing the largest jump in employment was leisure and hospitality, which was hardest hit by the pandemic in the early months. Now, despite consistently substantial monthly gains, payroll employment in leisure and hospitality is still down by 1.47 million or 8.7% from February 2020 levels. Now, close behind leisure and hospitality in March job growth was professional and business services, which added 102,000 jobs. In fact, together, leisure and hospitality and professional and business services accounted for just under half of the total jobs added in the economy during March. Elsewhere, though, growth was solid, except for utilities, which saw a small decline. Transportation and warehousing was mixed, with gains in couriers and messengers and in warehousing and storage, but a decline in trucking jobs, and that's what we're going to dig into now. So for hire trucking in March, saw its first seasonally adjusted decline in payroll employment month over month since the contraction in April of 2020. However, the broader picture is a little more complicated because the BLS also revised sharply higher the payroll employment figures that previously it had published for January and February. Truck transportation shed 4,900 jobs in March, but that decrease came off a revised February figure that was 6,600 jobs higher than it was when it was initially reported last month. So what we end up with is a month-over-month drop in employment following a February gain of 10,000, and that was the largest monthly increase since May of 2020. So what we really see then is volatility. Compared to February 2020, we now have for hire trucking employment up 35,400 jobs, or 2.3% compared to the pre-pandemic level. And of course, that is a higher number than what we reported last month. More granular data on the trucking segments that's available only through February would suggest that most of the 10,000 new jobs that month went into general freight truckload. That segment saw an increase of 8,400 payroll jobs in February. General freight truckload in February was 13,500 payroll jobs ahead of February 2020. Production and non-supervisory jobs within that segment In February, we're still down slightly, about 1,100 jobs relative to pre-pandemic levels. But in January, that deficit had been over 10,000. It was 9,000 jobs larger. So again, a lot of growth was seen in February, and we'll have to look when we get the March granular data next month as to see whether that sector is where there was a big give back, as we saw, obviously, in the total number. Now, local general freight in February saw almost no change in employment, but it remains the biggest gainer relative to pre-pandemic levels at 22,100 payroll jobs ahead of February of 2020. The only sector in February that still lagged February 2020 levels for total payroll employment was localized specialized trucking, and that was down by only 3,000 jobs. So we are looking at a full recovery almost in trucking in almost every sector. Okay, let's recap the key takeaways for the week. The number of new for-hire carriers set a record in March, but so did net revocations of operating authority. Diesel prices declined slightly in the latest week. Crude prices remain above $100 a barrel. The rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 4.67%. The ISM Manufacturing Index weakened in March. Job openings and quits remained close to records in February. The U.S. added 431,000 payroll jobs in March as the unemployment rate fell and labor participation increased. Trucking jobs saw volatility in Q1 with sizable gains in January and February and a decrease in March. The coming week is going to be pretty light for economic indicators, so we'll just have to see what we're going to talk about. I'm sure there's going to be something aside from spot market and fuel prices and mortgage rates. Maybe we'll talk about the White House's Trucking Action Plan, which hit its 90-day mark, and there was an event at the White House on Monday. But we really had too much else to cover, so maybe we'll readdress that next week. That's it for FDR's Trucking Market Update, episode 156 for the week of April 4th, 2022. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.